Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
We're going to talk about something that's going to help that today in your marriage, your business, with your kids. We're talking about 10 communication killers. 10 communication killers, things you do not want to do. We're talking about how to resolve conflict. You know, resolving is a good word. It means you make a determination. To resolve means that I am determined that I'm going to fix this or change this. Conflict is bad. You know, I'm not talking about disagreement. I'm talking about conflict. That's where you have this a constant, open fight. I mean, it's just ongoing. It's disharmony. And so what we're going to do, we're going to resolve. We're going to determine. We're not going to have this ongoing, open warfare verbally in our home or in our business, whatever. We're going to figure out how to stop this. And there's some things that happen that we all do as humans that if we'll stop that, you know, it'll make a difference. You know, they say some of the strongest marriages in the history of our country were marriages that took place during World War II. And the reason was the war broke out all of a sudden, you know, with the bombing of Pearl Harbor and the tragedy that took place there, and all of a sudden people enlisted and decided to go off to war. And many, many people got married just on a whim almost. You know, they knew somebody casually and maybe fairly well and decided, I'm going to enlist, I'm going to the military, hey, you want to get married? And they got married, and maybe they were together 2 or 3 days, 2 or 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden, the husbands are gone. And they were gone, some of them 2 years, 3 years, some a long time. And so the only way they got to know each other was through letter writing, and they'd write letters back and forth. And what happened was they said those marriages were the strongest because in letter writing, you were able to get a thought out and complete that thought without changing your mind because you can't see the other person's reaction. You don't see if they're getting mad or sad or happy, so you're not determining what you're going to say by what they're doing. You're going to tell the truth of how you really feel about something. So it says those couples really got to know each other because they'd bare their soul on a piece of paper because there was nobody to stop them, you know? And because sometimes we're not very bold within ourselves. We think, well, if this is making somebody mad or hurting their feelings or whatever, we'll change literally what we're going to say and maybe not be quite as truthful as we would be if we weren't looking at them. You ever said something about somebody when they weren't around and how determined you were, and all of a sudden you get in their presence, and all of a sudden you just sort of meld away because, you know, now that you're there face to face, you don't have the same conviction. And so what we want to do, we want to be able to tell the truth to each other. We want to be able to solve problems, not have an open, ongoing conflict, this open warfare constant in our home. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you some things that are going to help that. Avoid this prolonged fight that we sometimes get into. And what we're going to go is where we always go. We go to the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. The Bible says truth will set you free and keep you free. There's no other shortcut. There's no other form. You can't go to the store and buy this. You're going to have to go to the Word of God. God gave that to be a blessing and a help to us. So we're going to look at some statements and some scriptures, and we're going to lead up to these 10 communication killers, things we do not want to do. The first is my favorite scripture, Matthew 5:9, which says this, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the children of God. One translation I like better says, blessed are the problem solvers. I want to determine my life. I want to be a person in my life that solves problems, not created them. You know, wouldn't it be a shame to live your life on this planet, live to be 90, 100 years of age, and all of a sudden you die, and after you're gone, people didn't say anything good about you? Man, I'm glad they're gone. Man, everywhere they went, they're fighting and griping, complaining and murmuring and never had anything good to say about anybody. I'm telling you, you don't want to leave a legacy like that. The Bible says the memory of the just is blessed. You want to leave behind a good name. You know, and that's because you were always a blessing everywhere you went. You always left people better than you found them. You left a situation better than you found it. You left a room better than you found it. You know, one of the rules we used to have at home was for the kids, you know, you leave or you go into a room, you come out of the room, you leave that room better than you found it. We want you to be a blessing. Build a good name for yourself. Don't be somebody that's always tearing something up, messing something up, tearing something down. Let's learn to do what Jesus did, and let's bring life where we go. So blessed are the problem solvers. You need to make a determination. I'm going to be a problem solver, God. I'm not going to run from it. I'm not going to gripe about it. I'm going to be a problem solver. Because of that, you're going to give me grace to do that. And I'm going to people are going to like me because I'm going to leave everybody better than I found them everywhere I go. Second scripture is James 3:16. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Well, that's just stuff of the flesh. Envy and strife. Always yammering. Can't put a lid on that mouth. Always gripe about something. You know, the Bible talks about those who stir up strife among the brethren, God hates those people. God hates people always got a pot stir, you know. Now, I'm not talking about confronting and telling the truth. I'm talking about just people just gripe, complain, don't have anything good to say. Proverbs 17:14 says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. Be like going down here and sticking a stick of dynamite on the dam and blowing a hole in the middle of it. That's what a quarrel is. It breaches a dam. It stops things, opens a floodgate. So it says, drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Proverbs 20, verse 3 said, it is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool will be meddling. Always sticking your nose, not trying to solve something, just stirring stuff up, just griping for griping's sake. And sometimes that can get to be a bad habit. So this James 4, 2 said, you want something, but you don't get it. It said, you kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, and you do not have because you do not ask. He said, instead of getting to the point, telling the truth, presenting your needs, you just grouping about something. I've gone to this in marriage counseling, people griping. I said, what do you two want from each other? And it's almost like it would stun them like a tuba fore, make them sit down and think, I hear what you're mad about, I hear what you're upset, but what do you want? I mean, let's just get it down to the bottom line. Let's get through all who did what and who said what. What do you want from each other? You know, it's amazing. Sometimes in 2 or 3 minutes, you can get the answer, and all of a sudden, you can get some peace to the situation because they never stop griping long enough to tell the truth to each other. It says this, I like this, in Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. Man, isn't it tough living in a house where somebody loses their temper all the time? Don't you hate it? I mean, it's just like a knot tying up in your stomach. I mean, you just want some peace. Isn't it tough? You just don't know when that person's going to blow up or get mad and get mad over the least little thing. Man, that is just miserable. God bless you, give you great grace if you're living at home with somebody like that. It's just hard, isn't it? And we've all had that, see, because all of our flesh wants to do that. We've all either been that way at one time and didn't give it another thought. It's the grief we're causing other people because we can't control our temper, our upsets. We're like a little thumb sucker in kindergarten that refuses to grow up. Proverbs 21, verse 19 says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. This is on both sides. So, man, I'd rather live out in the woods and live in the house of some woman just griping and mad all the time. It'd be better just sit under a tree, you know, and sit out there and feed the squirrels, wouldn't it? Just to get some peace. I mean, it's a shame. I know it seems humorous sometimes, but it's a shame that people live in homes and places where they can't get any peace of mind. Man, your home ought to be a haven of rest. That ought to be the place you want to go to get away from the things of the world, to recoup and recharge your batteries. It says Romans 2, verse 8. Says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that does evil. You know, you're just going to reap what you're sowing. That's what it's saying there. You're going to reap what you're sowing. Proverbs 26:21 says this, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. He said, basically, it's our saying we have today. It's like gasoline on a fire. A contentious man. It's constantly, just won't let it die, won't let it alone, just keeps stirring it up, refuses to get over his past, can't put it on the blood, can't repent, can't forgive, and they're living with that misery all their life. Man, that's a shame when Jesus has already made a way to roll that stuff over and either forgive or repent and get on with your life, you know, and get that burden off of you. Philippians 2:2, here's what we're trying to do when we resolve conflict. We're trying to find some agreement. If any two of you shall agree, and Amos says, can two walk together unless they be agreed, you know. Philippians 2:2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Isn't that great? Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Like-mindedness is what we're trying to get. Listen, no people ever see the thing the same way. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, not because everybody agrees, but because everybody sees the mountain from a different viewpoint. It's not that my view's wrong, it's just I'm looking from this side, you're looking from that side. So when you get together, there's wisdom in the multitude, not because you just perfectly agree. You know, the Bible says this, there's a great thing. When two of you are just alike, one of you's not needed. You know, that's why you like having differences and strengths and weaknesses. That's why, you know, spouses are great because they are different. And they can bring the wisdom, that compilated wisdom together so man, you can get stuff done and get things solved. I like the statement here, it says, the further apart a couple is in their thinking, the farther apart they will grow in their marriage relationship. The farther apart they grow in their thinking. That's why, well, how do you get together and you think? Well, you're going to have to communicate. You're going to have to talk. You know, I want to take what you know and you know and you know. So, I mean, it's no different than a CEO or a business owner in a company. I'm trying to pull from my staff or whoever's around me. I know all of you are different. No two of you are the same. But I'm trying to pull the collective wisdom from all of you. And what we do, we get all that, we'll get something done. Finally, husbands, it says this in 1 Peter 3:8, finally, husbands and wives, all of you should be of one mind. See, what's the purpose in conflict resolution? Why do we resolve conflict? We're trying to resolve conflict by getting us all in one mind. We're trying to get the same thought. We might see it exactly the same way, but we're trying to accomplish the same thing. So you should be of one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another, with tender hearts and humble minds. Communication is the key to like-mindedness. You got to learn how to talk to each other. It's not a skill we're born with. It's a skill we develop. And the better we get at it, the better we develop it. If you need to go to a bookstore and buy a book, get a tape series, you know, go to a seminar, you're going to have to learn how to communicate, or you will never have peace in your life because you constantly have conflict, that ongoing open warfare, because you don't know how to resolve those things. And those things take skills and tools we weren't born with, but we need to acquire once we get here. The first step of being like-minded is to be understanding with one another. I've seen people who thought they hated each other, but you finally get them together. How well they resolve things. You know, one of the things I used to do as a boss, and I was an administrator of a school for several years, if I ever had a parent come complain about a teacher, you know what I would do? I'd do what the Bible said in Matthew 18. I'm not going to listen to your complaint about that person. I'm going to send you to them one-on-one. If you have aught against your brother, go to them one-on-one and resolve it. If that won't settle it, then go get another witness and bring them with you and try to solve it. If that won't work, then go get the pastor and let him get involved. But I tell you, most problems were solved. If I could get a parent, listen, don't talk to me about that teacher, staff member. Have you talked to them yet? No. Then you go talk to them first, and once you talk to them, then see if you can get it settled. And I'm telling you, 90% of the time, I would never hear back from those parents. Unless it was, let's say, they got it taken care of, it was just a misunderstanding. How many times have I heard that word? It was just a misunderstanding. That's because you had thoughts instead of truth. I'm telling you, the devil will plant thoughts. You'll get wrong thoughts. Or, you know, your kids bring home the wrong information. And most problems are solved if you'll just sit down and try to understand the other position. Ephesians 4:25 says this, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another." You know, first thing we've got to stop doing is lying. And the biggest thing we lie is we lie to ourselves. We don't even tell ourselves the truth. I mean, several times in working couples through marriage situations where they were separated trying to come back together. I've heard this couple make this statement one time. It really fascinated me. And they said, "Joe, we're not going to come back together the same as we left." I said, "Well, I understand that." I said, "No, you don't understand. Both of us have realized, going through counseling separately, we didn't know ourselves. We've spent our whole life trying to please other people. We didn't even know who we were or what we were like. So how can I bring myself into a relationship when I don't know who I am?" And so what happens is you start lying to yourself because you spent your whole life pleasing somebody else and you don't know who you are yourself. So you got to tell yourself the truth before you can tell the truth to somebody else. John chapter 8, verse 33 says, "You'll know this, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Jeremiah 9:5 says, "Friends deceive friends, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongues to lie." Isn't that incredible? They taught their tongues to lie. "They weary themselves with sinning." You know, when you don't tell the truth yourself, or your spouse, or your employees, your kids, or your boss, or whoever you're working with, your fellow, whatever, your fellow students, you don't tell the truth, you're going to wear yourself out. You'll literally, mentally, emotionally drain yourself, because I'm telling you, sin, that lying, it'll drain energy out of you. You'll be wore out. But I'm telling you, people who have the truth on their lips all the time, they got a clear conscience, man, they wake up lighthearted, man. There's not anything hanging on them. They've got that thing settled.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.